Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the dwelling place. You are the dwelling place of the Most High God. You personally are, the Bible says. But when we gather together, we're also the dwelling place of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So welcome to the dwelling place. We're continuing this series entitled The Dwelling Place, talking about how you and I carry in our personhood, wherever we go every day, the presence of God Almighty and what that means for us. So we're in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 17. And if you'll follow along with me, it says, He came, that is Jesus came, and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God lives by his Spirit in us as we gather. And wherever you are, if you're listening online, if you're gathering with two or three or 200 or 300, the Holy Spirit's there and we become a gathering. When you go about your day, you are a dwelling place of the Lord and he lives within you. So what does that mean for us? Last week I gave you 6 points about what it means for God to dwell in us, D-W-E-L-L-S. I'll just give you those same 6 words right quick, like thoughts, and then we'll get to the point this morning. First off, God delivers us when he comes to dwell with us, when he comes to live with me, he delivers us. Secondly, he works through us. Third, he equips us. The fourth, he lavishes who he is on us. The fifth thing, he loves us. And the last thing in the word dwells is he strengthens us. And so this morning, I want to focus on this word deliver. He delivers us. So when God comes in, he comes in to deliver us. It says in the psalmist says, 34:4, he delivers me from all of my fears. Psalm 18:2 says, he is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Psalm 140, verse 7 says, O sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer. Psalm 144:2, he says, my stronghold and my deliverer. And then in Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19, he says, he delivered them from all their troubles. And then Jesus taught us to pray, when he taught us to pray, to deliver us from the evil one. So there's a lot about deliverance in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, but particularly in the New Testament. And the Bible says when Jesus came, he came to seek and save those who are lost, and to raise the dead, and to heal the sick, and to deliver people from demons. Right? So Jesus' ministry was about deliverance. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll discover Jesus delivering people. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find people being delivered from the demons that are bothering them, all right, and from other things. So what does it mean for God to dwell within us? And when he first comes, he wants to come and deliver us. So if you can, like several years ago, they had this program on TV. It was about people who hoarded things. Did you ever watch one of those episodes? Really depressing, right? Just painful to watch. And it's like, why have you got all that? I've actually been in the house of someone who was a hoarder. And there was a trail that led from the front door back to the kitchen. And on both sides, there were mounds of garbage bags filled with things. Some of it was garbage. Some of it was clothes, all kind of things. Just mad that there was a couch in the living room. And it was just covered with garbage bags full of stuff these people were collecting. There was a TV, but there were garbage bags stacked on top of the TV and all around. Literally, there was just a trail to walk back to the kitchen. You get in the kitchen and just bags just piled everywhere. These people were hoarders. So I've seen that with my own eyes. Maybe you have. Well, sometimes in the spiritual realm, we are hoarders. We hoard things. And when Jesus comes to dwell with us, he comes into the home in our heart, right? He comes into the living room or the family room, however your house opens up. And sometimes all that's left is a trail for him to walk through to get to the kitchen to have a meal with us. Because he says, I want to come have a meal with you. And so he walks through this trail of stuff in our lives. And he gets back to the kitchen and he says, let's have a meal together. And maybe he has to push some things off the chair to sit down in that you've collected, that you've hoarded. Maybe he has to push some things off the table a little bit so he can bring his fish sandwiches that he brought with him, right, for us to eat. Chick-fil-A sandwiches and Krispy Kreme donuts, right? That's what's going to be in heaven. And he moves these things out of our way, out of his way, so we can sit down and have a meal. Now, I don't know how your mom was, but when my room got to a certain messiness, she said, clean it, right? And if she didn't clean it, she set a date wherein she was going to clean it. Anybody had that same experience? Right? I see those hands, the rest of you are lying, right? Except those of you who are clean freaks, you never had that problem, right? But some of us just like to keep a messy room. And when mom said clean the room, we cleaned the room eventually, unless she came in and cleaned it. Well, when Christ comes into our life and he sits at the table with us and he's eating a meal with us, he doesn't sit there and complain about all the stuff that's in our house like your mom might. Why have you got this? Why have you got that? He sits there and he has a meal with us and he starts building this relationship with us. And then he looks at it and says, Jim, you know, that thing over in the corner, you really don't need that. Yeah, but I like it. I've had it for a while. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, you really don't need it. It's really cluttering up your life. It's really not helping you. It's not advancing my desire for you, and that is to become more like me. He doesn't come in and beat us over the head and say, why have you got that in the corner of the room? Why are you still hanging on to that? You moron, you know, get rid of that. That's not how Christ comes into our life. He comes in and establishes that relationship and has that meal with us. And then begins to point things out in our lives that are not helpful for us, right? You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, that's really not helpful for you. 6 packs of soda a day is not helpful for you. You need to cut back to 5, right? Amen. 12 Krispy Kremes is not good. In a day, cut back to 11. Right? The doctor points these things out, right? Well, Christ comes in, he points out, and he says, this is not good. He wants to deliver us from these things. So first, he has to point it out. And secondly, you have to agree with Christ. Now, therein lies the problem. We love saying, yes, Lord, as long as it feels good and feels right, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. I will gladly, you know, sing on the praise team. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord, I will gladly go teach, you know, whatever at Sunday school. I'll gladly go and serve on the mission field. However, when he says you need to take that hatred out of your heart toward people that aren't like you, I might need to hang on to that one. That may come in handy for me somewhere, right? Do you see how we pick and choose? We say no, Lord. Do you realize you really can't do that? You can't say no, Lord. Because that means he's not your Lord. You understand that, right? That's an ouch. That's a big ouch. You can only say, yes, Lord. If you say, no, Lord, you're simply saying, no, you're not my Lord today. And you're really not my Lord in regard to this habit that I have here. So I think there are 4 things that we hoard. We hoard hang-ups, habits, hurts, and heartaches. Now I'll say that again in Spanish. Okay? We tend to hoard hang-ups, habits, hurts, and heartaches. We want to hang on to those things because they meant something to us. They were tied to us emotionally, perhaps physically, spiritually. They were tied to us. And we don't want to get rid of them because we feel like if we get rid of them, we'll be less of who we are. When in reality, when you get rid of those things, you become more of who God has designed you to be. So let's pick at a few scabs here. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So some of us have habits that we like to hang on to. Okay, and we could talk about food groups, but I can't do that because we had a big fellowship meal yesterday, and I had some of those food groups. But sometimes we form habits by eating things, drinking things that aren't good for us. Sometimes we have habits of excuses. Now, when Christ comes in and he's sitting at the dinner table with you, he's sitting at the kitchen table with you, when he's having a meal with you, and he looks at something and says, that's an excuse you've been using for a long, long time. you got two choices. You can say, yes, Lord, or no, you're not my Lord today in regard to that excuse. You see, I think any excuse that we make in life about something that we're hanging on to is not good for us, and Christ wants us to get rid of it. Now, some of you are 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, and you're still hanging on to some things, right, that you've been hanging on to since you were a teenager. It's time to get rid of them. It's time to grow up. Paul says, I'm putting away childish things. Some of you are still hanging on to some teenage things. You're stuck in adolescence, right, with some of these habits, some of these excuses you keep making for why you do what you do, why you say what you say. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. That's who I am. No. No. That's who you've chosen to be. Christ is saying, I'm calling you to something different. I'm calling you to something different. So what excuses have you been making about your behaviors and attitudes and actions this morning, this week, this year, that you need to let go of? Christ is sitting at the table, and he's saying, Jim, that's just really not helping you at all. It's really not. Let's get rid of it. I'll help you. I'll help you. And so Christ enters our life. He says, I want to deliver you from this excuse that you've painted over your life all these years. Stop it. Stop it. Let me help you. Right? Quit carrying this by yourself. Let me jump in and help you be delivered from this. And then some of the things we hoard are the hurts that people have done to us. Now, I know some of you have been really hurt. You've told me your stories. You have been deeply hurt by somebody close to you. And I'm sorry that happened to you. But you can't hang on to that the rest of your life. You just can't. Right? You've got to find forgiveness in your heart toward the person that hurt you. Now, remember, we've talked about this on many occasions. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Right? Forgiveness is between you and God and that and the person in your heart and your mind that you have. Reconciliation is when you go to the other person and try to reconcile something, right? We're called to forgiveness. If reconciliation happens, that's good, right? But you're called to forgive first. And so some of you have been hurt, right? You got your feelings hurt. Something happened. Something was said. And you're hanging on to it. And it's not helping you. And Jesus is sitting at the kitchen table. And he's pointing it out in the corner of the room. And he's saying, that's not helping you at all to hang on to that hurt. You need to forgive that person. Well, how do you do that? You just start by saying, Father, I forgive them. I don't want to, but I forgive them. Right? The next day, say, Father, okay, I forgive them. And this is just between you and God now. This is just between you and God. You're not talking to anybody else in the room. And over a day or a week or a month or a year, you can finally say, Father, I forgive them. They really didn't know what they were doing. Or maybe they really did know what they were doing, but I forgive them anyway. Right? You get to that place because that's who Christ is. That's who Christ was and is and will be. He's forgiven us. He's forgiven you of your sins. Right? He's forgiven us of our sins. We should follow his example and forgive other people of their sins. It may take a while. It may take counseling and therapy, right? But it's worth the effort. And Christ sits at your kitchen table and says, this hurt. You need to get rid of. You know, Christ was unoffendable, and that should be our goal, is to become unoffendable. And that's hard in this life, this world, especially today, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, it seems like. Everybody's offended at everything, right? We need to find a way to learn to be unoffendable as best we can in this life and live from a point of forgiving others who've hurt us. So stop hoarding the hurts. Give them to God. Say, I don't know how to forgive this person. That's a great prayer. God, I don't know how to forgive this person. They did some horrible things to me. God, how do I do that? And just listen. Let him tell you how to work through that process, because it's different for all of us. Every situation is different. Ask God how to work through that. And then there are heartaches. We hoard our heartaches. Things that didn't go planned. right? We had this great life planned out, right? Going to get married and have some kids and some good jobs and a nice car, you know, live in a nice neighborhood. And it all went to, you know, wasn't back, right? Something happened. It just all blew up. And so we're heartbroken. And people who are romantics, hopeless romantics, that would be me. We get heartbroken easily. Go, oh, we just want it to be the fairy tale ending. Well, sometimes life doesn't end that way. Right? Some of you listening online, you know what I'm talking about. Life just doesn't end that way. You plan it out, you hope for the best, and something happens. Right? Life happens. Craziness happens. Meanness happens. Something happens. Right? You took a person at their word. They said they were going to do this. And for a couple of years, they did this. And then all of a sudden, they just changed. And you scratch your head and go, what happened? What did I do wrong? And you got this heartache, right? Well, we can hoard those heartaches all of our life if we choose to. But Christ sits at the kitchen table and says, you got to stop hoarding that. It's not helping you. It's just not helping you. It's only holding you back from being who I really want you to be, who I designed you to be. So he calls us to stop hoarding these heartaches that we have. And then he calls us to get rid of some hang-ups that we have. And, you know, I guess we've all got hang-ups if we're human, right? There's some things that we just don't like, right? And we're hung up on it. And Christ sits at the kitchen table and says, that's really not helping you. Let's get rid of that. Now, just remember, God's, when he comes into our house and he sits at the kitchen table, remember, I've said this already, I'm going to say it one more time. He doesn't have a big stick, and he's not beating us over the head with it. He's not humiliating us with these things. He's not shaming us, right? He's not pouring the shame. I can't believe you had this hang up. That's not the Christ we serve, right? So hear me say, he's not condemning us in this. He's trying to help us. He's trying to say, let me take this out of your life because you don't need this. So as we think about being the dwelling place of the Most High God, we must invite him in. We must invite all of who he is in into every room in our life, in our heart, where he comes in and says, let's take the living room first. Let's start here. Let's go to the kitchen, right? Let's go to the bedroom. Let's open up some of those closets, right? What about the attic? What about the basement, right? What about that awkward door in the cupboard in the kitchen? You really can't put anything in, but you just shove stuff in there because you know you're never going to get that stuff out, right? It's just too hard. Let's go into that little cupboard and pick some things out that you really don't need. I just love that about Christ. I don't like it when he does that to me. Amen or oh me? Because I want to hang on to it. I like hanging on to things, right? But I know he's telling me the truth. I know that he's telling me the truth, that it's not good for me. And so I'm telling you this morning, it's not good for you. Right? As Christ's ambassador this morning, I'm telling you it's not good for you to hang on to these things. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, you yourselves are God's temple, and God's Spirit lives in you. He's going to live in us regardless of the stuff we've hoarded, right? Keep that in mind. He's not leaving. He's not going to walk out the door and say, if you don't clean this mess up, I'm out of here. He says, I won't keep staying right here with you. And if you don't clean it up, I'm staying right here with you. If you clean it up, I'm staying right here with you. I'm not going anywhere. That's the Christ we serve. That's the Christ we follow. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. 2 Corinthians 6:16. For we are the temple of the living God. Hebrews 3:6 says, and we are God's house. Right? He comes into the rooms in our house. John 14:17 says, the Spirit lives within you and will be with you. Ephesians 3:16 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's amazing that the God of all creation cares enough about me to sit at my kitchen table and try to help me while we're having a meal together that he brought with him, right? Remember last week I told you he backs up the semi and brings the food in. He brings this banquet in. He says, I got a banquet, but there's no room on the table to set it out. Let's get rid of some of these things so that I can bring the banquet in, so that you can know the fullness of Christ having a meal with him. Do you want that in your life? I hope you do. I so hope you do. Take some time this week. Sit down at the table with Christ and say, okay, I'm willing to give this a shot. What's in the house that I've been hoarding that I need to get rid of? And just listen. He'll be gentle. He'll be tender. And he'll say, this is something we want to start with right here. That this one box, let's get rid of it. And he'll walk you with you, if you'll let him, to the garbage can and drop it in. Push it out to the road for the guy to come by and pick up, right? That's the Christ we serve. He wants to help us with this. Will you let him help you this week? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being such a loving, gracious, generous, benevolent, forgiving, understanding Father. Thank you, Father. You are just absolutely amazing, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for calling us your friend and for sitting at the table with us and for helping to deliver us from the things that aren't good for us, to deliver us from our fears, to deliver us from evil, to deliver us from our troubles, our hang-ups, our heartaches, our habits. Thank you, Jesus. And then thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us understand all of these things. Now, come, Holy Spirit, right now in this moment and point out something in the corner of the room that we need to get rid of today and help us to do it. Come, Holy Spirit, guide us in that process. Teach us, remind us, help us, encourage us, convict us. Show us how, Holy Spirit. That's why you're here. You are our comforter, our counselor. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us today and this week. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God who is with us and in us and around us and through us and about us and who loves us deeply and dearly. We pray in his name. Amen.